just anything. And so we have a shot at going to visit somebody in the hospital at times, and then we go and we take some time with somebody who's imprisoned, and then we spend some time counseling, and then we spend some time in the intercession team, and we keep digging around to try and find where do we fit, really. So what I've found is a simple method that identifies what my life calling is. And tonight we're going to go through that quickly. And you're going to do the homework. Are you conservative or charismatic? Okay. You do the homework. And if you've heard me teach on this before, I apologize. But this is part of the training. So the very first thing, you had your hand up, ma'am. You know what that's a wonderful question. Can I answer it? I found out I made so many stupid mistakes that I had to preface everything I did by, listen, I'm just practicing in this. Okay? I really feel like I'm hearing from God, but I might be wrong. Right? That's all I do. Because if it really is God, it doesn't lose the value of it. But if I'm wrong, at least I've covered my tracks. And so that's how you just protect yourself. You got to be real with people. If you walk up arrogant, like, God has spoken to me, I need to speak to you. Well, pride comes before. You know how it works. So really, you've got to come humbly. Saying, listen, I don't do this every day, but I feel like I've got to pray for you to be healed. Would you mind if I do that? And you know what? The person might just say, it's fine. At least you get the shot at it, but you've got the permission. When you become competent in the gift, then you can be more confident in your approach. And so that's my input on that. All right. How do I know what my life gift is? Well, first of all, you must know, like I told you, there's prophecy. There is leadership. There is mercy. There are all these beautiful gifts written out in Romans 12. What is interesting, at the end of 1 Corinthians 12, please hear me. This is very important that you get this fixed. At the end of 1 Corinthians 12, there is a mix of the gifts of the Son, gifts of the Father, and gifts of the Spirit. Are you listening to me? It says there are first apostles, then prophets, and then it goes into healing gifts, and goes into administration, and so on. It mixes these groups of gifts because he's speaking about how the body works together, how each part is linked to the other, how we should be a team in what we're doing, how the nose cannot say to the eye, I don't need you. My gift cannot just be by itself. My gift needs to be connected to the rest of you. A person flopping around doing ministry by themselves has missed the point of the whole exercise. We're supposed to be flowing with others. We're supposed to be connected with others. Okay, so that's 1 Corinthians 12. There's some stuff in there. So I just want to do this for you. I want to say that I believe there are other life gifts that are not necessarily mentioned in Romans 12. For instance, the gift of intercession. The Bible speaks about intercessors. They're not necessarily mentioned there. I believe the gift of craftsmanship is in there. People who are gifted to work with their hands. I believe the gift of psalmistry is in there. Psalmistry, psalmistry. Psalmistry. The ability to sing and compose music and lyrics. So, These various gifts that are added in here are just simply gifts that God has given the body to leave an impact, not only on the body, but upon the community. So the very first way I identify what my life gift is, point number one, is passion. What are you passionate about? Today I sat with two young men who are just looking at going into the professional field, and one of them just said, I am so concerned that I'm making a mistake in what I'm applying myself to. He said, I have a passion to help people in this area. I don't want to name it specifically because I don't want to feel he's been exposed. But I have a passion to work with people in this area, and I'm training to do that. But when I look at what I have to do, I don't like it. For instance, let me tell you about myself. I longed from a little boy. I've always had a passion to help people become the best that they can be. That's my passion. I can't put it into any other words. I want to see you become outstanding. I hate seeing people stuck in life. So that's my passion. So eventually I found out that that meant the ministry. But what the ministry offered me was being a pastor. And as a pastor, I am pathetic. Do you understand? So here I am thinking I'm living out what I've always wanted to do, but I'm doing what I dislike. Tell you why. Because the component that was a mess was this. I was dealing with people who never wanted to get better. And so what I really do well with are people that are desperate to get better. But you give me a person who does not want to move, and I have to sit and have cup of tea after cup of tea after cup of tea with them while they are saying, yes, Pastor, whatever you tell me, next week they've done nothing. You understand? I'm dead in the water. I am not made for that. Because then I become pushy and domineering and all the rest, and it upsets everybody. So I found out that I was doing on the path to my life calling what I didn't like. So it's really important that you clarify what you're honestly called to do. So what is your passion? If I had to say to you, and this is the way I get people to get it clear, if you've got a couple of years to live, you've got all the resources, all the energy, all the time, no restrictions, nobody's telling you you can't, nobody's stopping you from doing it. If you could apply yourself for 2 years to something that you want to do to leave a mark on earth for the Lord, what would that be? You need to write that question down, because you're going to have to go home and work through that. For me, I can tell you in a heartbeat what I want to do. I want to find the most radical, willing, obedient, desperate, driven, but you know what I mean, passionate people that I could find in the kingdom who want to learn how to go to the next level. And give them to me, especially strategic people. People who are going to make a difference to earth. Give them to me for 2 years. That's all I want. I will walk with those people, train them, equip them. This is my thing. I would not like to be with them every day for 2 years. Do you understand? I would like to move amongst the group all the time, touching them as a group. That would be my passion. I don't care where it is. I don't care who is involved, what color, what race, whatever. All I want is people that are going to make a difference, that'll pay the price. That's my passion. I live for nothing else. What's your passion? Can anybody name quickly, just so I know exactly what I would do? Yes. Dealing with wounded people, what? Doing what? That's beautiful. So that's his passion. What's your passion, ma'am? That's beautiful. And you'd love to do that for the 2 years of your life, more than anything else. Somebody else rose there. Yes, sir. That's excellent. That is really beautiful. Isn't this interesting? Now watch this. Watch this. How many of those do you think fit into the local church of the three that we've just heard? In a way. But actually, they're outside of the church. Now this should set off alarm bells in all of us. That says there is more that we can do than we're just doing now. And so when you finish a meeting like this, you could find a whole group of people that have the same passion. Are you hearing me? I was amazed to find in some of the churches we've done this work in that there are sitting in that church a mass of people that have one passion, and that's children. They haven't got a passion for grown-ups. It happened in Westport. There was a group of people that were just, I've never seen so many people passionate for children in one church. What do you think that is? Man, there is an opportunity for those people to come together, to start to pray, to start to fast and seek God, and find out what God wants to do through that church. Here is an expression of the heart of God in that church towards children. But what happens is this sister will try and do it by herself. So she ends up battling through all the systems. She doesn't know where to start, where to stop. She doesn't know how to get in. She doesn't know how to get trained. She knows nothing. When in fact, if we started to recognize that God has given this heart as part of, the body, the heart, this heart thing for children, you can start to connect. For that brother, other people who are there other people interested in prisons in this room who have a passion for prisons? There we go. There you are. Can you imagine these guys get together and say, listen, let's just start praying. Don't have to plan anything. Once you start to get the concept, you bring it under the leadership, you start to say, listen, this is what we have as our heart. What would you say is the way forward? How should we be equipped? Do you understand, guys? Now we start infiltrating society and changing society. So just by knowing your passion can change a whole lot of things. So here we are. I asked you the first question. What is your passion? May I suggest you draw two more lines? Two more columns. Incorrect statement. Two more columns. And in those columns, I'd like you to say this. That passion which you have, what is the people group that that passion is aimed at? Now, you've just heard from her what hers is. You've heard from my brother what his is. And you've heard, now, yours here is open-ended. It could be to anyone. But if we pushed you, said, who do you have a heart for? What people group? You might find that the people group you have a heart for would be middle-aged people or, young marrieds or whatever. Do you understand? You are focusing. For instance, if you had to ask me, how keen am I on training children? Not interested. Don't bring around me a bunch of kids that squeal and carry on. I'm not the right guy for that. I walked into Sunday school. The first, they tried to find a way to fit me in church. They brought me into a Sunday school. All these kids are running around. I'm like, it's time to start. Hey! One little kid goes, so that's it. I'm out of here. This is not my job. They asked me to preach in schools. I walk into schools. Here are the young guys messing around with the girls, you know, and they're chatting while I'm trying to talk. They're acting the heavy. So I'm a pastor to this school. So I go, hey, you, get away from the girls. It's like, by the time I'm finished, they're all like, I'm pathetic. Other people walk in, they go, morning guys, how are you? And these guys warm up to them. Me, they're going, thank God he's gone. You know what I'm saying? Find your people group. Who's your people group? Who do you have a passion for? For me, doesn't matter the age, doesn't matter the color, doesn't matter the race, does not matter at all. All I want is those characteristics I said earlier on. It's all I want. There's no, I can go anywhere, and I'm received very well most places. So that's the first thing. Second thing you need to ask yourself, passion. Second is your prophetic words. Dilute them down to the basic directional statement and find out what do your prophetic words tell you God has on his heart for you. My first prophetic word was all I need. It came out of Matthew chapter 9 and it said, the field are white unto harvest, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he sends out workers into the harvest field. And the Lord spoke to me and said, I want you to train workers for the harvest field. For the last two mornings I've woken up, and as I wake up, the Lord says to me, I want you to train workers for the harvest field. He's working on my call. He's readjusting me. I don't even want to get into that. Last night I spoke on what's coming in 2010. And actually, one of the things is God's going to restructure the way we do things. Well, you were there, Tim. All right. So get your prophetic words. How many of you in this room do not have prophetic directional words about where God's taking you? Wow. I would, if I was you, I would find an opportunity to meet with a church leadership that actually believes in this stuff and gather a prophetic team that will do prophetic ministry over you, so that some form of direction would come to your life. I believe God wants to talk. 1 Timothy 4:14 says that we need to stir up the gift. Do not neglect the gift that is in us, that was given us through the laying on of hands of prophecy through presbytery. We should find what our gifts are prophetically. God should speak to us. And I don't believe that God doesn't want to speak to you. God does want to speak to you. You see, for yourself, sister, the one who asked me two questions, you're a teacher. Your calling, your prophetic calling, I'm giving you a prophetic word. Your calling is a teaching with a prophetic edge. Your ability to analyze the situation, your ability to speak into the future of people's lives while systematically equipping them to understand the whole process is what God has gifted you at. Now, that is a prophetic word. It'll be a good idea to get that, get it on paper, get it off the tape, write it down word for word, and look into that. I gave you a very simple word. I didn't even get into the details. But I'm giving you the core because that's what you need. So out of the prophetic word, remember we've got columns now that we're trying to fill. So then the prophetic word, the second thing about the prophetic word was, who does the prophetic word speak about? To me, the prophetic word for me speaks about workers for the harvest field. Do you understand? For this lady, it's quite clearly people who have not been fully equipped who are struggling to understand process. That would be who she would put down as folk who are desperate to know where they're going and how they're going to get there. All right? So that would be the column she would write. Your column No, I haven't spoken to you prophetically. Who's had a prophetic word that's very clear? Max, have you had personally a prophetic word that's very clear? Over your life. What did it give you a group of people that you were aimed at? What was that? That's interesting. You see the point? Now that is something you put in a column. That does not mean that's all you're going to do for the rest of your life. But it does give you an indicator as to where you're going. It gives you something to work on. Okay? The next thing I need to tell you about the prophetic word is not only the group that is required, and by the way, that's the same for passion. Answer this question. What gifts do you need to develop? Am I making sense to you? I'm so worried that I'm actually telling you something that I can't show you. If this is a page, the first section would be answering what is your passion? What is your prophetic word? Then there would be another column that says, to which group have you been called? And the final column would be, what equipping is required for you to become this person? What equipping is required for you to become this person? This takes a little bit of work, you can understand. But if you will follow it through, you'll find out that your profile starts to become clear. Point number three, I call it pastoral observation. Pastoral observation. Those who have been in some way instrumental in your life over the years, what have they ongoingly indicated that you are gifted in? Pastoral observation. I've spent many, many years and many hours with Pastor Glenn. And as a man I respect, I've listened to what he said to me. And many times he has made statements about who I am and the effect I have that has really solidified in my mind what my course is. Do you understand what I'm saying? Not just one person, but the people you really respect through life, not just your pastor, but folk who have spoken in over the years. What has been said over you? I can tell you what has not been said over me. I did an evening with my congregation, and I said, I'd like you guys to just do a quick analysis on the various gifts. And for instance, mark it from 0 to 10. So for instance, if I had to ask you as a congregation to mark me from 0 to 10 on the issue of prophecy, on the gift of prophecy, as a life gift, how would you mark me? So they all went 9, 10, whatever. So I said, and if I had to say to you, mark me on the gift of mercy as a life gift, how would you mark me? And they said, next question. You know, there's some things that are obvious to leaders. So not only what they see, but things that they can see you don't have. It's really good to listen to people. You know, if you're getting up to sing in the worship group and the pastor says, look, I think you should take a sabbatical. Like 20-year sabbatical. I think he's trying to tell you haven't got the voice that's required for the job. Your heart might be you want to sing. Listen, I tell you, I would love to be able to sing for the Lord. That's the thing I would love to. And I have tried at different times with varying effects on various people. And all the effects have shown me I'm truly not called to that specifically. So I've tried to lead worship for my church when the worship leader is not there. And we end up having to restart many times because where I lead the congregation and where the music group are leading them are two different places. Okay. So the first is passion. Second is prophecy. Third is pastoral observation. Fourth is what I call past experiences. Past experience. Okay, this can be a little thorny for some people theologically. But I'm just going to go there anyway, okay? A lot of the stuff that you have been through, in fact, sometimes the deepest, darkest things you've been through, has given you the ability to function in that realm if you've overcome it in a way that no one else can. That's scriptural. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 6. It says, the comfort you've received, comfort others with that same comfort. Meaning this, that when I got comforted by God through somebody, something was imparted to me. That comfort not only touched my life, it settled on my life. Do you understand me, folks? And so I have a unique ability to speak into some darkness that you don't have. And you've got an ability to speak into some darkness that I have not got. I cannot speak to you about drugs. I do not have an anointing to get people instantly delivered out of drugs on an ongoing basis. God has worked miracles through me as far as getting people set free, and I'm really grateful for that. But I do not have a ministry of setting people free in the realm of drug area, because that is something that I've never, ever had to be delivered from or deal with. But there are a whole lot of areas in my life that when I meet a person and I hear where they are, I know exactly what to say to set them free. Now this is sad, because unfortunately in the body, and Pastor Glenn, this worries me a lot, because what happens is we've got a bunch of counselors that counsel us on a wide variety of subjects. Yet sitting in the congregation are some people that are highly anointed because of the fact that they've been taken through and delivered, but have never been taught the means to lead people out, have never been given the opportunity to lead people out. And so what we end up is we have professional counselors who have not got specific anointings to face some of the problems that demonically people have to deal with. Are you hearing me? And so what happens in life, if you map your life, and I don't want this to become a depressing pastime, but if you map the victories and you map the difficulties, you map the pain and you map the joys, you'll find out that you have been formed in a unique way. For instance, one of my joys is that I have had a father, as I told you early on, that is just a hang of an amazing guy. He was funny. He was patient. He was everything. I mean, he just had wonderful gifts. Major failures, but he had wonderful things as a father. And so I grew up under a dad that was an outstanding model of how to stand in the most crucial, difficult, critical times. I never saw my father ever flinch in the face of unbelievable pressure. Never. He never got depressed. He never gave up. He never lost his joy. My dad just kept going. He was an unbelievable man. So the joy that I draw in my life is I have a model that I have drawn from. And in a way, try and walk in that same gifting, same anointing, same lifestyle. So you need to look at your past experiences. What have you had uniquely that nobody else has had that equips you uniquely for what you're called to do? Because God was not asleep. From the moment you were conceived, You can bemoan your fate. You can speak about how terrible your life was. I'm telling you, it's going to get you nowhere. What you need to know is that God was there through everything. And that God wants to use the rubble in your life to build in other people's lives. God wants to really take what you've felt as deep pain and transform it into a healing anointing that really lifts people out of darkness. Past experiences, write them down and identify what those gift you to do. The next one is practical opportunities. Practical opportunities. Practical opportunities. When I got born again, it was an interesting thing for me. The moment I got born again, I was working in two places, actually. I was in the forces, because that's what our nation was going through. We were fighting a war. And secondly, I was working full-time in a computer operations manager job. But what was interesting is every time I would walk down the corridor, we had corridors in the airline that I was working in. Every time I walked down the corridor, no word of exaggeration, somebody would call me and say, Yanni, could I speak to you about something? And that became a manifestation after I got born again. No one, there was no sort of message that went out that says, you need to speak to Yanni if you have a life problem. That wasn't what happened. It was a unique move of the Spirit that wherever I walked, people would grab me and say, could I talk to you about something I'm facing? And I realized that that door constantly opening pointed to something God was doing in me. It didn't mean I had great wisdom or anything. It pointed to the heart of God for my life. More than that, I found that many people who were key players kept coming across to ask my counsel regarding marriage. How can they keep strong in the midst of their leadership? That was a constant thing that kept happening. And so I noticed doors kept opening to me. I asked the question to you. What doors always open to you? Some doors we have to kick open. Some doors we are knocking on that we were never supposed to knock on. But which doors does God keep leading you to? I'm not talking about what you organize. I'm not talking about what you know, we can all manipulate life so that we get into positions which we shouldn't. I'm talking about supernatural doors opening. Write those down, and that'll give you an idea as to what God has been doing with you. The next one, that was practical opportunity. The next one is what's called persevering fruit. Persevering fruit. In other words, when God has given you an opportunity to minister into somebody's life, or you've taken time with people, what has been the lasting fruit in people's lives? What has been the lasting? What areas have received lasting fruit? For me, in the prophetic realm, people receive lasting fruit. For me, in the realm of sitting down and inspiring people to do greater things has borne much fruit. Evangelism is very low on my abilities. I mean, I've won people to the Lord, but I am definitely not an evangelistic machine. That is for sure. I rather work with people that are well established in the kingdom. Do you understand? Mature people in the kingdom is what I feel more called to, not people trying to find their way into the kingdom. I have very little fruit with baby Christians. I think I'm just too much. Maybe it's just I cannot distinguish the level they're at, and I try and push them too far. But baby Christians I don't have a lot of success with. So I've realized there are certain areas I don't work well in, but there are other areas I bear tremendous fruit. There are some subjects I speak on that have tremendous impact. There are other subjects that are always just a waste of time. Which is wonderful. We're not everything. We need each other. Okay. So what is it? I want to get you involved a little bit. What is it in your life? So one or two people, just tell me, what have you had persevering fruit on? In other words, an area you've ministered in that changes people's lives. Can anybody answer me? Just one or two hands, please. Just where you've ministered to somebody and it's touched their life. Nobody had persevering fruit? Go, my brother. Right. That's great. Have you had people come back to you and say, you know what, I really appreciated the way you, that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the feedback from people that say, what you did touched my life. You raised your hand, sister. Helping, I'm glad you said that. I thought you were going to say, I have a lot of fruit in marriages. Okay, helping people, I'm playing with you, of course. But helping people in difficulties in marriage, that is great. They've come back, or you've just seen the effect. That is fantastic. That is fantastic. That is really good. Anybody else? Yes, sir. Okay, how does that come back? Have you seen the fruit, or somebody reported the fruit? That's great. Isn't that beautiful? Somebody raised their hand at the back. Yes, sir. Ready? You can see the effect? That is great. You can see the gift in you, obviously. I mean, it's very clear. You understand what I'm saying? You either can see it or it's reported back to you. And that's really beautiful. Okay. The final one is what is called personal observation. Personal observation. So personal observation works like this. You break into groups. How's our time going? Our time is going, that's for sure. You break into groups of about 10. And what you do is you take the Romans chapter 12 gifts and list them. Added to those are, of course, intercession, psalmistry, craftsmanship, and administration. Add those in. For instance, one of the gifts that's found in Romans 12 is the gift of giving. The other is the gift of hospitality, the gift of leadership, and so on. Now, you take those gifts in that group of 10, and you identify one person. For instance, you would focus on this brother, and 9 of you would go through that list of gifts and tick which ones you feel apply to him, even though you don't know him. We have had such success at this that we found out that the body actually knows what other people are just by looking at the list. And so at the end, you get a group of 10 people. You'll get 7 people at least saying that this brother's gift is A. And man, they are exactly on. It's a very interesting phenomenon. I stumbled on it by chance and have done it in many places. And this, of course, is what has come out. I advise you, we're going to try that next week. We don't have enough time this week. So next week, we're going to come together. We're going to sit with a list of the gifts. And then we're going to be tomorrow. That's right, of course. Listen. Be kind to me. I've been traveling for 3 months today. Okay, so my brain is working in different ways. I was just in a blizzard in Massachusetts. What a fantastic experience. Driving down the highway with this all these snowflakes coming, like psychedelic, you know what I mean? It's just wonderful. And there's just the slush, and I wanted to give it a go. I mean, don't think I'm irresponsible, but I loved the feeling of the car sliding like this while we were driving. It was, I thought of you, Pastor Glenn, to be honest with you. I thought, I know one man that would love this. If we were together, man. No chance. I've watched you on a jet ski. I have to confess something. Okay, let me get it off my chest while my wife is not here, so that I've said what I have to say. We got to this place in Massachusetts that was snowed out, and the next morning I had to do this last Sunday. I had to do the meeting, and Sarah woke up not feeling good at all. She, I think it was sinuses or whatever, and she just said, "Yanni, I don't feel up to it." So, no problem, I'm off. But deep inside, I was really excited because that meant I could drive to the church without her panicking. You know what I mean? And I got out on the road between the hotel and the church, which is about, I don't know, 4 miles. It's a back road, and it's very infrequently scraped. Do you call it plowed? So there's this sort of this deep snow hanging around. And I got on this road, and I traveled at sort of 20, and I tried to move the car like this to see what would happen. And I hit the accelerator hard to see what would happen if it spun. And, you know, sort of childish men things. Do any men, be honest, guys, any guys relate to me here? Okay, thank you. And so I was getting better and better at this. And I was thinking if there was an open plot where I could do 360s. I was thinking about that. And as I was doing this, I was going faster and faster and getting the feeling of this thing and feeling highly confident. And in front of me pulls some idiot off the highway who decides that he's going to crawl. So I like push him a little bit. You know, like, hey, bud, you're missing my style. Until through the back of the white snow of his vehicle, I read police. And he was sitting, like, in the rearview mirror. And so, end of fun. That's my confession for today. I feel better. Would you do this? And release me. Thank you. All right. So personal observation is a tremendous thing where you sit in a group. So I'll tell you what we'll do tomorrow evening is when you get here, we'll do the introduction, a bit of worship, and we're going to break into groups immediately. And then we'll do personal observations. By that time, I would like you, if possible, I know you've got work to do and I know it's late, but I'm asking you to try this. Please have your profile completed up until personal observation. Because what you need to do then is take that to your leadership and say, it seems that this is an area I'm called to. The beauty of all this is simply this. Who you were made and crafted to be can start to find legs. Do you understand? You can start to express this ministry to the jails. You can start to express this ministry to foster kids. Whatever is on your heart. But what you will find is nearly every gift that comes out actually hasn't got necessarily its place in the church. It's beyond the church. Which should tell us so much that God's heart is once we are changed and transformed, He wants us to go into all the world and touch those who have no hope. I pray that out of this exercise, you're going to find who you truly are. And you're going to start to do that last column. What do you need to be equipped in to become outstanding in what you're called to be? For instance, once I knew that I was called to equip workers for the harvest field, that meant I needed to analyze what that equipping process meant, Paul. You know what I mean? It was like I had to figure it out. And that equipping process at least meant I had to understand the process of equipping senior workers. So I needed to understand leadership. So I needed to get down and study leadership, which I did. I needed to be able to communicate effectively. I needed to have a life that was a model. I needed to get over myself and the things that stopped me from becoming effective. I needed to take charge and discipline of my own lifestyles, the way I spoke, the way I thought, the way I reacted. I really needed to get a whole lot of things in order before I even attempted to equip these outstanding people. How many of you know that that was not going to take the next 3 weeks? Yeah, just two more days. Do you understand? This is not something that you enter into for a short while. This is now a life training program. And the beauty is that God has given us gifts in the church that equip us to do works of ministry, works of service. And we can start to grow in this process of becoming the people we're supposed to be. So let me just go back quickly. I'm closing. We have these gifts here, which are for all. These gifts, all of us, should be functional in. You should be able to move in signs and wonders. You should be able to move in the prophetic. You should be able to move in discerning of spirits, word of knowledge, whatever. You should be able to do that. That is for all. We also need to have something added to our toolbox. We should all understand the one another's. We spent a long time tonight speaking about one another's. We should understand that we are part of each other. That if we do not know how to look after each other, then that is in Scripture the most basic form of ministry, is the one another's. What I do to my brothers and sisters, how I treat them, the kindness I show, the way I listen, the prayers I offer, the encouragement I share. I become your brother, I become your sister. In real life, I don't muck around with this. This is part of me. I don't come to get, I come to give. So whenever the body is together, we are building one another up. We're bringing one another to a place of stability and strength and maturity. And once we're through that, we've got the gifts of the Spirit under our belt. We've got the one another's under our belt. Now we've got our life ministry identified. And we prepare a program of development whereby we become what God has originally planned for us to be. You are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which He prepared beforehand. I don't want you to come off this earth without having done what you were made to do. We have a car in Thailand. The car has a big tarpaulin pulled over it, one of those fitted tarpaulins. We had to renew the insurance on it at the beginning of this year. And the insurance person came to the house and said to Mom, "What is this thing doing parked? It's supposed to be used. He was irritated because it can't get damaged while it's in the house. And we're insuring in a way that will, like in his mind, has no risk. Because cars were not made to sit in garages. Cars were made to drive. Christians were not made to warm seats. Christians were made to change lives. And I have to tell you that that is God's intention, and that is what God is going to do with you if you will apply yourself to it. May the Lord give you strength and grace as you work through these things. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray tonight that, first of all, the drive home would be watched over by you. These can be treacherous times, Lord, and we pray that you would just watch over. Keep people from this black ice. Keep people from any form of danger. I ask it in Jesus' name. Give good night's sleep to people tonight. I pray, Lord, if there's any person in this room, receive it now. If you're struggling with sleep, in the name of Jesus, receive rest in your bones, in your being, in Jesus' name. Right now, I declare over you tonight that your night will be filled with dreams that are sweet, that your heart will wake up refreshed as your body is tomorrow. And I pray, Lord, that as we come together over these next two nights, that something dynamic and unique happens in each of these people. Lord, I pray, get them out of the starting blocks. Get them out of a place of limitation. Get them out of a place of just uncertainty. And start to open large doors for what lies ahead. Lord, we thank you for a new season which has fallen upon the church. We pray that these precious people would be at the forefront of what you're doing. I ask it in the name of Jesus. And God's people agreed, said amen. God bless you. Thank you so much.
God bless you, everybody. For those of you that I haven't met, I'm Glenn. I'm the pastor here. And during these three nights together, Jan and Sarah are going to be leaving next week to go back to Thailand. And we want to send them home with a big blessing. And so I just want to ask you tonight or tomorrow, Thursday, if you would bring a gift to share with Jan and Sarah. There are offering plates on either side of the back door. If you're making a check, you can make that out to Harvest Time Church. We have envelopes back there for giving for you to receive credit for your giving. But whether it's tonight or tomorrow or Thursday evening, I want to send Jan and Sarah home with a wonderful blessing. And I don't believe that he was bad at pastoring. I don't know how you think, but I don't believe that for 1 minute. So God bless you, everybody. Have a great night. Thank you.